Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
We are at war, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. It's a very dark day in American history. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is darkness before the dawn, and we're gonna get through a lot of information, a lot to share with you as we unravel what Jack Smith and the Biden DOJ did to President Trump yesterday. And we have some great guests coming up. By the way, a former governor, Mike Huckabee, will be here. Also, Judge Andrew Napolitano will be here. And, of course, our good friend Robin Poffman, who is going to help us break down the latest Trump indictment. But we're also going to be opening up the phone lines to you. And I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, what advice would you give President Trump right now? You're invited to Mar-a-Lago. You are sitting down across from the president of these great United States. What advice would you give him? Would you tell him to stay the course? Would you tell him maybe it's time to think about retiring? Would you tell him to tone things down? Would you tell him to crank up the fire even more? What advice would you give President Trump? So I've had a chance to read through this this indictment. It's 40-some-odd pages, and I've read through it at least three or four times. And, folks, it seems to me the only crime that has been committed here is free speech. That Donald Trump dared to have an opinion about the 2020 presidential election, that he dared to do anything about it. And that seems to be the problem here, is that if you believe that the election was stolen, if you believe there were shenanigans, if you believe that something was not right about that 2020 presidential election, then you are not allowed to say anything about that. That was my first takeaway. This was a very politically charged document. This was not about what is right and what is wrong. This looked like a script out of a bad Lifetime TV movie. That's what it looked like to me. But I'm not seeing crimes here. And I'm not, you know, I don't understand Jack Smith stepping out with this sort of a document that will certainly be thrown out of court. Because there's no crime here. President Trump has a right. You may not like what President Trump has to say, but he has a right to say it. And that's what this indictment is all about. This is not about the documents at Mar-a-Lago. This is about what he said about the 2020 presidential election. But before we go any further, I want you to hear me. This is not about Donald Trump. This is ultimately, at the end of the day, this is not about Donald Trump. This is about you. This is about the 75 million people who went out on Election Day in 2020, America First Patriots, MAGA World. You went to the polls and you cast your ballot. This is about you. And they're sending a message to you through Donald Trump that if you say anything about the elections, if you criticize the deep state, then by golly, your butt could be in a sling as well. That's the message here. You know, President Trump and I'm sorry, the team Trump folks put out a statement yesterday, and we've got it up on our website, toddstearns.com. And I would encourage you to read the entirety of this statement. But the team Trump folks got it. They understand what's going on here. And they said there are comparisons to what's happening now in America with what happened in Nazi Germany. And I know people, they shrink up, they shrivel, they get puckered, if you will, anytime somebody mentions the Nazis. But I want you to hear me. This is actually a very accurate description. According to the statement, and I'm going to read this to you, they say the lawlessness of these persecutions of President Trump and his supporters is reminiscent of Nazi Germany in the 1930s, the former Soviet Union, and other authoritarian dictatorial regimes. Yes, I said it, dictatorial. There's nothing more. This is nothing more than the latest corrupt chapter in the continued pathetic attempt by the Biden crime family and their weaponized DOJ to interfere with the presidential election. President Trump is the undisputed frontrunner and leading by substantial margins. And by the way, hear me out on this. Jack wants President Trump in court every single day leading up to the presidential election. That's what this is really all about. So, folks, I'm telling you, we are in a de facto state of war right now with the deep state. And it is a very dangerous, very evil time in American history. And I'm telling you, folks, we're going to have to buckle up, put on our big boy pants, put on some hip waders, and we're going to have to get to business here. We're going to have to stay focused on the task at hand, which is getting Donald Trump back into the Oval Office. But it's going to be ugly. It is going to be absolutely ugly. But I'm going to play some audio for you, and Dylan did a great job of tracking down this information. But the argument here is that Trump committed crimes because he advanced a notion that the election had been stolen. He tried to convince the Electoral College to change their votes, and they're saying those things are crimes. Well, if it's a crime for Trump to do that, it should also be a crime for Al Gore to do it. It should also be a crime for Mrs. Bill Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton. It should be a crime for her to do that. It should be a crime for every Democrat on Capitol Hill to do it. And it should be a crime for all of the Hollywood celebs to do it as well. So we're going to play some audio here. And the first, you're going to hear a bunch of celebrities in Hollywood telling people not to vote for Trump. But these people are not just people. They are members of the Electoral College. The election already over. And now these Hollywood celebrities are basically telling the Electoral College to overthrow the presidential decisions. Listen to cut six.
Republican members of the Electoral College, this message is for you. As you know, our founding fathers built the Electoral College to safeguard the American people from the dangers of a demagogue and to ensure that the presidency only goes to someone who is to an eminent degree endowed with the requisite qualifications.
An eminent degree. Someone who is highly qualified for the job.
The Electoral College was created specifically to prevent an unfit candidate from becoming president.
There are 538 members of the Electoral College. You
and just 36 other conscientious Republican electors can make a difference.
By voting your conscience on December 19th.
And thereby shaping the future of our nation.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
As you know, the Constitution gives electors the right to vote for any eligible person.
Any eligible person, no matter which party they belong to.
But it should certainly be someone you consider especially competent.
Especially competent to serve as President of the United States of America.
By voting your conscience, you and other brave Republican electors can give the House of Representatives the option to select a qualified candidate for the presidency.
I stand with you.
I stand with you.
I stand with you.
I stand with you in support and solidarity with conservatives, independents, and liberals.
And all citizens of the United States.
The American people trust that your voice speaks for us all.
And that you will make yourself heard through the constitutional responsibility granted to you by Alexander Hamilton himself.
What is evident is that Donald Trump lacks more than the qualifications to be president.
He lacks the necessary stability.
And clearly the respect for the Constitution of our great nation.
You have position.
The authority.
Okay. And the opportunity.
All right, I can't do it anymore. I can't, I'm sorry. It's the music and the white backgrounds, very stark, very somber. Ladies and gentlemen, they were calling for Republicans to the Electoral College to change their votes and not vote for Donald Trump. According to the indictment yesterday, that is a federal crime. That is against the law. So why are not all of these Hollywood celebrities in jail? And by the way, it's a good thing that this video was not produced now, because they have no writer. So these Hollywood people would just be staring at a blank screen. They wouldn't know what to say. But it's not just Hollywood. You see, they're also accusing Trump of committing crimes because he refused to accept the election results. Well, we have 25 minutes, and we're not going to play all 25 minutes, but we have 25 minutes of Democrats denying the 2016 presidential election results. Cut number three.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's the real thing.
That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election. And he was put into office because the Russians interfered.
Russia interfered with our election, attacked our democracy for the sole purpose of artificially placing someone at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They were successful.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
I don't see this president elect as a legitimate president.
You said you believe that Russia's interference altered the outcome of the election.
I do. We have a president who, if in fact it is proven, has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
The one thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
Our election was hijacked. There is no question. Congress has a duty to hashtag protect our democracy and hashtag follow the facts.
John Lewis is completely right. There is a cloud of illegitimacy around the election of Donald Trump. The Russians interfered with his election. James Comey and the FBI interfered with his election. The fake news industry interfered with his election.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president who got illegitimate foreign help.
Do you believe Trump is illegitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
There absolutely is a cloud of illegitimacy.
So that legitimacy is in question, yes.
So that was a very tainted election, and in that sense, it's illegitimate.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he knows he didn't. He knows he's an illegitimate president.
Stolen emails. Stolen drone. Stolen drone. Stolen election. Welcome to the world of unprecedented Trump.
So do you believe President Trump is an illegitimate president?
Based on what I just said, which I can't retract.
All right. There you go. There you go. By the way, that last guy, that was Jimmy Carter.
Hi, I'm Mr. Jimmy. I'm 132 years old. But I'm more brighter than alert than Joe Biden right now. I'm a peanut farmer. Just call me Mr. Jimmy. Even Jimmy Carter. So my question is, again, since we're rounding up presidents here, former presidents, we going to arrest Jimmy Carter? We going to arrest Mrs. Bill Clinton? What about Kamala Harris and Joe Biden? Because they were out there saying that the 2016 election results were illegitimate as well. So again, folks, the media doesn't like to cover all of this, but we do, and we keep the receipts. And I want you to hear me before we go to break. Folks, it's going to be an inferno. It is going to be ugly. As a matter of fact, there will be more indictments coming down the road. It's going to happen. But you cannot be swayed. You must stay the course. And I can promise you on this radio program, we will stay the course. We've done it through good times and bad times, and we will continue to do it. But we're not going to be turned away by this. I mean, and by the way, Mike Pence, you know what? This guy illustrated exactly who he is by his statement saying that Trump never deserves to be president again. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Shame on Mike Pence. Ron DeSantis is talking about a ham sandwich. I don't know what the heck that guy's up to. But we are, this is not a game. This is not a game. Given the choice, they would rather Trump spend the next 565 years in prison. They want this man to die in prison. And if the deep state could get away with it, they would hold a public execution in Washington, D.C. and string President Trump up by a rope and let him hang. They hate Donald Trump. And the reason they hate Donald Trump is because they hate you. And they know they can't come after us right now, but they can go after Trump. And if they're successful going after Trump, they are going to come after you. You're going to start seeing the FBI knocking on the doors again. They're going to be coming after the Christians and the pro-lifers. They're going to be coming after the Second Amendment people. They're going to be coming after all of us who actually know our pronouns. So we are in an ugly fight. And we have got to stay the course. And we're going to do that here, folks. Yeah, it is ugly out there. But I'm telling you, we are going to keep broadcasting the truth from this great, big, beautiful, huge microphone here in Memphis, Tennessee, at our flagship station, KWAM, until they drag me out of here and send me to the gulags. And then we're going to figure out a way to broadcast from the gulags. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or ship to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Traitor, his name's Mike Pence, never came to Trump's defense, did nothing to stop the steal. Mike must have made a shady deal. That vote Mike certified, tried to say his hands were tied. He's a man who has no backbone, his cowardice showed. Mike Pence is trashing Trump, on his boss he likes to dump. Now he says he's gonna run, delegate he won't get one, never be president. Like skim milk you'll get 2%. He's a certified backstabber and a rhino.
All right, thank you there, Jim Gossett, playing now in the Todd Starnes Radio Show Blue Room today. Thank you, Jim, for that. You know, it is interesting, though, Mike Pence being the backstabber. I mean, he certainly did that when he was governor of Indiana, when he turned his back on Christian groups and refused to sign the or backtracked and redid the religious freedom laws there. So we never forget here, Mr. Pence, we never forget. Want to go through, and we're going to go to your calls at the bottom of the hour here, but I want to go through a timeline for you. June 7th, the FBI released documents alleging the Bidens took a $10 million bribe. Guess what happened the next day? Trump got indicted in the Mar-a-Lago case. July 26th, Hunter goes to court, rejects that sweetheart plea deal. Guess what happened the next day? Jack Smith added more charges in the Mar-a-Lago case. July 31st, Hunter Biden's former business partner testifies that the big guy was on over 20 calls. Guess what happened the day after? What happened yesterday? Trump got indicted again. Are you folks seeing a pattern here? Anybody? Or is it just as a coincidence? Coinky-dink, as they say. All right, 844-747-8868. We're going to the phones. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. Just sent me a note about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I guess there's a new movie coming out called Mutant Mayhem. And apparently, Seth Rogen has made one of the Mutant Ninja Turtles gay. Can turtles be gay? Can they be homosexual? Is that possible? I know the Teletubbies. I think, was it the purple Teletubby? I think he had issues. Allegedly. Anyway, everybody's going gay these days. All right, let's go to the phones as promised. Nick in Oregon, starting the day off at radio station KYKN. Nick, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Todd. You're doing a fine job. Love
Thank
your show.
You. Thank you.
Love you. I don't want to call it a show. I want to call it a program because shows, like, it's like you're putting on a show, but with the program, you have an agenda, just like the other side has an agenda, but you're at least giving us the truth.
Well, it's not NPR, Nick. I'll tell you that much.
All right. So when Obama was elected, my wife and I, we just couldn't understand how that happened. So we dug a little deeper, heard a little bit more about Obama's past, and found out that anybody that went up against Obama politically was destroyed. It just went after him over and over and over again, just beat them down until they gave up. So the problem with Trump is, he's not giving up. And so as long as the populace understands that it's the agenda of the left, of the regressive totalitarian Marxist, to just attack their opponents until they give up, we have to stand our ground. Because if we don't, we are going to be continually beat up to the point where we're not going to have any positions.
Nick, this is a brilliant observation you're making, and when you go back and explore Barack Obama's upbringing and how he came to be who he was, a lot of that had to do with a couple of very important characters, one of them being the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. America's KKK! Chicken's coming home to roost, brother! And then you had, on the other side, you had Saul Alinsky, of course, that wrote the book Rules for Radicals. And that guy was a raging Marxist, and both of those men radically influenced the thinking of Barack Obama. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not surprised that people were destroyed, but you're right when it comes to Trump, it's not working. And that's why they're getting nervous right now, because they see the groundswell of support. And, Nick, I'm curious, what are people there in Oregon saying about all of this in your neighborhood?
Well, in my neighborhood, I don't have a whole lot of people that I know on the left. I'm a born again Christian, and I have Christian friends, and we all get it. So I think the conversation has to continue, though. And I also like to add, as long as I got your ear and everybody else's, more and more counties are going to paper ballots. You think about it. When we were, I don't know, 30 years ago, we'd stay up until maybe 1, 2, or maybe 3 o'clock in the morning to find out the final results of an election.
We sure
now
did.
Now it's weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So tell me, how are the computers making it better when we have to wait for weeks and India can do it overnight? So you know, hopefully more and more county commissioners or whoever makes the decisions will say, you know, this computer stuff, it isn't working. Let's go back to paper, and maybe there'll be less, and get rid of, we have a vote by mail here, and we haven't seen a Republican governor since. So I think that there's something to be said about cahoots with somebody's in cahoots when it comes to voting. And let's get rid of the computers, go back to paper, and stop this stupid vote by mail, unless you're in the military, which I was for 20 years.
Well, Nick, God bless you, and thank you for serving our great nation, and thank you for serving our Lord as well as a fellow brother. And you keep fighting the good fight out there in Oregon. I'm telling you, I think we are watching an uprising here, and it goes back to a survey that we shared with you a few days ago where the young men of America are radically more conservative than they have been in years past. And that tells me that finally men in America are saying, you know what? Enough is enough. We're going to be men. We're not going to be medicated. We know our pronouns. And if you got a problem with that, feel free to step outside. All right, Nick, appreciate the call. Let's go to Collierville, Tennessee. Chris is listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, Mr. Starnes. Thank you for taking my call.
Honored to do it.
Real quick, before I get to my main point, because this is what made me think of Donald Trump and what's going on with him. Pastor John Hagee had two sermons, one called 1776 and one called the Ten Commandments. And I would suggest people go and watch those two sermons. They're very powerful. And the one on 1776 really hit me when all this stuff is being thrown at Donald Trump. And yesterday was the final stab in the back for me. As you said, introductory today of your show, freedom of speech has been absolutely condemned. Okay? I mean, if what they threw at Trump yesterday means that just because he believes that the election was fraudulent, then you might as well throw me in jail with him. Okay? And I would just like to say this. Donald Trump is just as good, if not better, than our founding fathers, because he truly, ladies and gentlemen, he pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor to become president. He did not have to do this. He could have sat up there in Trump Tower and watched the world fall apart. But no, he stepped in. He saw his country. He saw us going down in decline. He saw people who were hurting. What did he do? He created jobs. He's the one who brought back the economy. The stock market was soaring. And he did so much to help everyone in the country. Didn't matter if they were Democrat, Independent, Republican, whatever. Didn't matter. But he pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. And after what they did to him yesterday, I'm done. Nobody else is going to get my vote but Donald Trump. This man has been stabbed in the back. He's been kicked in the face, kicked in the gut, and I'm tired of it. He gets my vote the whole way. I don't care about his tweets. I don't care about anything. This is about standing up for someone who loves this country and who loves us. And that's the done deal. I'm done. Donald Trump gets my full support because he is a true patriot. And he was the best thing that ever happened to this country.
Without a shadow of a doubt, everything you said is 1,000% accurate. And Chris, we need to have that mindset going into 2024. Every single freedom loving American, we are at war right now. And everybody has a choice. We can either fight on the front lines or we can wave the white flag of surrender. But we are at war. All right, Chris, God bless you. And thank you for listening out in Collierville, Tennessee. The MSDNC historian. A little hysterical today. His name is Michael Beschloss, and he says that J6 will be a day that will live in infamy. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Beschloss, who is the presidential historian for MSDNC, says January 6th is just like the Civil War, just like Pearl Harbor. Folks, thousands of people died at Pearl Harbor. Tens of thousands of people died during the Civil War. The only people who died on J6 were the freedom-loving patriots who were gunned down by government agents. Just want to point that little discrepancy out to Mr. Beshoff. All right. I've got some information here I wanted to share with you. I became slightly discombobulated. This is from the Washington Post. Now, everybody's been thinking there's somebody inside the Trump campaign that's leaking all of this. There's a leaker. And a lot of people say, oh, it's Barron Trump. No, it's not Barron. What? No, no. Oh, it's Melania. No, it's not her either. What about Mark Meadows? No, I don't think so. I think the Washington Post may have nailed it, and they don't even understand what they've got. They've got a story about this indictment, and they counted the number of times that Mike Pence or the word vice presidency was mentioned. In this 40-some-odd page document, Mike Pence's name was mentioned more than 100 times. I'd be willing to wager some Chick-fil-A nuggets. That's your guy. That's the leaker. That is the backstabber. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, do you support Trump? You heard Chris from Collierville. We need that sort of commitment and dedication. Now, this is not about worshiping Trump. We all know he's a flawed man. Everybody is. We are all flawed, some more so than others, but we're all flawed. But when you take away all of the accusations, and by the way, a lot of those impeachments were based on this false information. When you take away all the lies that were being perpetrated by the deep state and the Democrats and Hillary Rodham Clinton, Mrs. Bill Clinton, when you take away all of that, you get a good, decent man who has been screwed. Now, it's interesting that Chris from Collierville mentioned our founding fathers because, just like our founding fathers, they are trying to strip him of his fortune now. They want this man in poverty. And can you imagine, and everybody's critical now. Oh, how dare he? He's using campaign money to pay his legal bills. Well, I don't know if that's true. But I got to be honest with you here, folks. I don't have a problem with that. If the American people want to help Donald Trump out with his legal bills, I say let him do it. Let him do it. But you thought I was kidding. You thought, oh, there goes Todd again, that hyperbole. What's wrong with Todd Starnes and that hyperbole? I get the emails, right? Poor Grace Baker, her phone explodes. That Todd Starnes, he just goes over the mark. He doesn't know when to stop. There's no way that Jack Smith is going to execute Donald Trump. That's just ridiculous. We need to coexist. Oh, they're always the coexist people. They're the ones who always complain. I want to direct you to a Breitbart story written by Joel Pollack. Special Counsel Jack Smith's indictment Tuesday against former President Donald Trump for his role in attempting to challenge the results of the presidential election includes several weighty felonies, including one for which death may be a penalty. According to 18 U.S. Code Section 241, conspiracy against rights, it includes a penalty of up to 10 years in federal prison, but it adds that if death results from the actions covered under the provision, the offender may be executed. And of course, Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed by a law enforcement officer, died as a result of the Capitol riot. So the question now is, will Jack Smith go for the death penalty? You think I don't show up doing my homework for this show, you leftist morons? You don't think we do that here? On this program, we do not talk out the wazoo. That's not what this radio program is all about. So there we go. It's not looking good right now for President Trump. But I believe if he gets a fair trial, this won't even go to trial. The judge will throw it out, but the judge is not going to throw it out. In the next hour, we're going to get to who the judge is. she actually is a pal of Hunter Biden. You can't make this up. She was appointed to the bench by President Barack Hussein Obama. You think Trump is going to be able to get a fair trial in Washington, D.C.? No, of course not. They want this man destroyed. That's what they want. Judge Tanya Chaka Khan is her name. C-H-U-T-K-A-N. Chaka Khan. Anyway, Judge Chaka Khan was chosen, are you ready for this now? Randomly. They say she was just, they pulled the name out of the hat. All right, everybody get together here. Chaka Khan, come on over here. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. All right, go ahead and pull a name out. And they pulled the name out, and it turns out that she is the one who has been sentencing these J6 defendants to a lot of jail time. A lot of jail time. As a matter of fact, in one case, prosecutors did not want an Ohio couple jail because they climbed through a broken window. And Judge Chaka Khan said, nope, they're from Ohio. Oh, yeah, they're going to jail. Get your butt in jail, Ohio people. A Texas mortgage broker posed for a selfie, right? That's all. That was the crime. He posed for a selfie. And the judge said, you go to jail too, Chaka Khan. And then there was an Indiana hair salon owner. And she was there, and the judge said, you got to go to jail, too. Every single one of those people were Chaka Khan'd. It's a new word. We're creating vocabulary on this radio program. Chaka Khan was born in Jamaica. Oh, I wonder if her ancestors knew Kamala Harris's ancestors. Maybe they worked the crops together back, you know, back in the day. Huh. She worked, by the way, where is the information here? Oh, here we go. She has strong connections to the Democrat Party as well as Hunter Biden and his daddy. So why exactly is this woman, why is she the one that was picked to oversee Trump's case? You think Trump's going to be able to get a fair trial? I don't think so. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me feel for you. Chaka Khan. What you tell me? What you wanna do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Chaka Khan. Let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love.
All right. Welcome back to the Tom Stearns Radio Program. So, D.C. federal judge, Tanya Chaka Khan, we're getting some more information about her. She was one of the people who was very tough on a lot of the J6 people, many of whom just took a selfie. That was it. And she was also a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, where Joe Biden was allegedly a professor. Before she was appointed to the bench. And by the way, her Senate hearing was very contentious. I think 40 Republicans refused to confirm. But she worked at a law firm that has strong connections to the Democrat Party as well as Hunter Biden. So according to the reporting, it's unclear if Hunter Biden and Judge Chaka Khan ever interacted. But we'll keep you updated on that. I find that hard to believe. Do you think it's just a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen, that this judge was the one picked to oversee President Trump's case? I'm telling you, something's not right. All right, we got to take a break here. Stick around. We're going to be getting your calls. Don't go anywhere. 844-747-8868. This is the Tom Stearns Show.
Live From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
We have breaking news from north of the border. That great vast wasteland known as Canada. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to the program. Well, you know, that was unfair. I mean, they did give us Bullwinkle and Rocky and a pretty good ginger ale, by the way. Canada Dry. It's very tasty. Not a big fan of the bacon there, but, you know, it is what it is. You can't be perfect. Anyway, this breaking news coming in, I will read this from Fox News. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced that he and his wife, Sophie, were separating. Trudeau made the announcement in an Instagram post. What? You're the Prime Minister. Why don't you, like, send out a press release or something? What's up with that? Anyway, Trudeau wrote the following. Sophie and I would like to share the fact that after many meaningful and difficult conversations, we have made the decision to separate, As always, we remain a close family, with deep love and respect for each other, and for everything we have ever built, and we will continue to build, All right, there you go. Oh, and you know, so something's up because of the last line. For the well-being of our children, we ask that you, respect ours and their privacy, thank you, It's always about the children, but it's really not always about the children. So anyway, it's a terrible thing, and you really don't wish anybody, you know, ill will in their divorce, I mean, you know, in their marriage. I mean, you want people to have a long and healthy life together, but let's get real. Did you see the photograph of the guy a couple of days ago, how he was sitting? And, I mean, and again, it was just a weird, I'm going to do my best to try and describe how this man was sitting. But he had his hands in the prayer position, and he shoved them. He had his legs together. He was sitting. There were other world leaders, and he was sitting there with his legs together. And he had his folded hands like he's praying, shoved into the crevice created by the legs, the thighs being together. It was a very unmanly position. I'm just going to tell you, quite frankly, I don't see how any man could be comfortable because of the. I shall be gentle here because of the, I can't be that nice. I can't. But let's just say that the berries got crushed. Is that appropriate? Can we say that? All right. Thank you, guys. And nobody wants crushed berries. So anyway, I don't know what the problem is here. I know there's a lot of speculation. We do know that Justin Trudeau is on the record as being a practicing thespian. But we don't judge here on the Todd Starnes radio program. That's just not what we do. All right, can I play the best audio in the entire world? But as great as this audio is, you have to see the video. So there was a convenience store, and we don't know the location of this convenience store, but there was a convenience store owned by a Sikh man. And you really don't want to mess with the Sikhs. So this guy comes in, this thug comes in, and he's got one of those big Rubbermaid garbage cans, you know, the kind that you put out at the side of your house so the garbage men can come and pick it up. And so he brought that into the store. And the video, again, we have the video at toddstarnes.com. You have to watch this video. And so the guy is literally going shelf to shelf in this convenience store, and he's just shoving everything into this garbage container. And somebody is filming it, and the owners, and I guess they had a clerk there, and they were just very upset. And the guy filming was like, well, you can't do anything about this. It's a long video, but we're only going to play a clip of it for you. But, pardon me, a snippet, not a clip it. So the guy is getting outraged, and the guy filming says, well, you can't do nothing about it. You can't stop these people. You're not allowed to stop these people. They're allowed to come in here and repatriate whatever they want to get. Racism, slavery, whatever. So the Sikh is like, well, you know what? Enough is enough. So the guy's got like this garbage can full of stuff, and I'm describing it so you'll understand what you're about to hear. The Sikh owner of the store grabs what could best be described as a cane. It was a very long piece of wood, and he
beat the ever-loving daylights out of this looter. Take a listen.
Don't do that, man. Whooping his ass, man. That's called whooping your ass. That's called whooping your ass.
Yes, in the biblical sense of the word, yes, sir. That was a good old-fashioned butt whooping. And I say, God bless you, Mr. Sikh person, or whoever you worship. Yes, bless you, sir. That was beautiful. I want to make that my ringtone. You know what they're going to do. I mean, if this was in Memphis, they would arrest the store owner. We have a radical district attorney here. I salute this guy, and the owner of the store took matters into his own hands. He didn't have to wait for the popo to show up. No, he said, somebody get me my cane, and then beat the ever-loving daylights out of the bad guy. Now, a couple of things. This is saving the taxpayer so much money. Now, yeah, the cops could have come. They could have arrested the guy, and he would have been back out on the street. But all the paperwork and the overtime, it would have cost the taxpayers who knows how much money. But here you have a business owner who says, you know what, forget that. I'm taking matters into my own hands, and we're gonna go to town. How much do you want to bet that guy never, ever robs that store again? I would encourage him to sit down and think about where he's going in life, but I don't think he could sit down right now. I mean, by the way, every single one of those hit the guy right between the butt crack. I mean, every single one of them. So anyway, good for you, folks. Good for you. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Webb in Maine, WLOB, our good station up there. Hi, Webb, what's going on?
All right. Yes. Hi.
Webb, here's what we're going to do. Webb, can you turn down your radio? We're having a hard time hearing you.
Just turned it off.
All right, very good.
And I'm really curious. It's obvious that the trial doesn't have a chance to be fair in Washington. Now, they always review prospective jurors, in the sense that someone has to be neutral. So when the court isn't neutral, why can't Trump's people get a change of venue?
That's a fair question, Webb, and that may very well happen. But I'm telling you, I just don't even see a case there. When you go through, and I've talked to a lot of legal scholars, I'm not an attorney, but I can read. And I've seen enough of these cases where I know when there is something, and this is, honestly, it was just somebody's interpretation of what may or may not have happened on that day. And I don't see a single crime being committed here by the president.
And not only that, Todd, it is against freedom of speech. You would have to put Hillary Clinton in jail. You'd have to put all the other presidents that fought the decision.
Yeah, Webb, you're absolutely right about that.
This is ridiculous. And the thing is, it destroys the First Amendment. The Constitution's on trial here.
Well, I think our justice system is on trial as well, Webb, and we are just living in a very dangerous time. You know, we have allowed our nation's education system to be overrun by these radical fascists and Marxists. And they are rewriting the DNA of our young kids, and they are rewiring them to embrace socialism and communism. And when you've got chaos and anarchy in your judicial system, you're not going to have a country much longer. But look, Webb, as horrifying as that may be to contemplate, I've got hope because we've still got Donald Trump running for the White House.
You know, Todd, we're in Rome in the 450 A.D., where Rome fell apart. our country's falling apart, our money system's falling apart, our justice system is falling apart, our education is falling apart. What is to be done? Because something's going to have to be done.
It's a great point, Webb. And the step one is to elect Donald Trump. We need every single freedom-loving American to get out and vote. And we've got to do the ballot harvesting. We've got to do everything the Democrats are going to do. And when we do that, we will win the day. We will win the day. Webb, I've got to run. I'm so sorry, but appreciate that call. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Did you go to camp when you were a kid? Did your parents ship you off to summer camp for a couple of weeks? Was it like a church camp or a regular? I don't know what they call. I've always gone to church camps. I haven't gone to like a non-church camp, so I'm not sure what they call that. Camp? Okay, I don't know. Dylan, did your mother ever send you off to camp for the summer?
Yes, a couple times.
All right, so what was that experience like? Did you sleep in a tent? Was it a cabin?
Well, this was a church camp, and we slept in cabins together with like other guys.
I see. All right. But it was very Baptist-y.
It was very Baptist, yeah.
Okay, very good. So there is a camp counselor on TikTok, and the counselor is boasting about how he turned all of his young campers. He had a cabin of 13-year-old boys. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Anyway, he's got this cabin full of 13-year-old boys, and he said, you know what, I was able to turn all of them into communists. So imagine that. You send little Larry to summer camp, little 13-year-old Larry, and Larry loves America. He loves his mommy and his daddy. He knows his pronouns. He goes to camp, and you know, you think, well, what's the worst that could happen at summer camp? You know, little Larry gets poison ivy. Maybe he gets the flu. But poor Larry comes back and he's a communist. It's terrible. Anyway, take a listen. Cut number 12.
I was a camp counselor for 1 week and turned an entire cabin of 13-year-olds into leftists. Here's how. It started on day one when the kids of their own volition decided to have an election to see who would be president of the cabin. They had me track the votes anonymously, and I may have broken the tie in favor of the obviously queer kid. Another kid, who was weirdly obsessed with Russian history, then asked if he could be Mikhail Gorbachev to the cabin, to which I said, I don't think so. You could be Karl Marx, though. He was thrilled. The kids then, somewhat clumsily, started discussing the merits of their communist government. It probably would have ended there, but on day two, the president told me that he had trouble sleeping the night before and asked me if I had anything to read. I had exactly one book with me, The ABCs of Socialism. This kid read the entire book in one night. The next day, another kid asked for it, and then another. By day four, Karl Marx proposed that our cabin cheer be the communist cabin, where everyone is equal, and everyone agreed.
Oh, my. Well, there you go, folks. This is what's happening even at your local summer camp. So moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, got to do a better job. Got to make sure that you know what's happening down at the local camp. By the way, what does that mean, obviously queer kid? What does that mean? Was the
little assumptions going on.
Right? Did he have a Dylan Mulvaney poster in the cabin? All right, let's go to the phones here. Doug in North Carolina has some advice for President Trump. Hi, Doug. What's going on?
Hey, Mr. Todd. Thank you for taking my call, my friend.
Glad to do it.
Okay, listen, I don't think that I could give President Trump any information that he doesn't already know. I'm sure he's privy to the situation. I don't think he was aware when he got elected in 2016 of the evil deep state that is involved here. But I think he sure does now. So the only advice I could give him is God bless him. He's a strong man. He's going to fight, and he's going to fight for us in this country. But the deep state, they are determined to not let him become president again.
It is a war. It is a war, Doug. It's a war.
Like you said, it is a war, and you better be prepared, because these folks are beyond nothing. They are capable of doing anything. So if the only advice I could give, which he's probably already done, is to increase his security force and even give everybody that's near him or does anything with Trump One, the jet, anything, give them, polygraph tests every couple of weeks. If they've refused, then they're gone. But if they don't, then they're loyal. But they're going to stop him any way that they can. And I don't think that they have any qualms about causing an unfortunate accident.
Well said, Doug. Appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Patty, listening to us on WSIC in Statesville. Hi, Patty. What's on your mind?
Oh, my friend Todd, how are you?
I'm doing well, Patty. Look, I am hopeful, but I'm also very serious-minded here. And,
well,
you
Todd,
know, we've got to be that way.
We're you know, I went to the rally. And I'm going to tell you something. 55,000 people or more. I'm telling you, this guy, I'm telling you, if something bad happens, I'm telling you, I think there's going to be a civil war in this country.
You think so? You think it may go to that? It may go to that level.
Todd, let me tell you something. I talked to so many people there, and you know, and I talked to all kinds of work. I mean, African Americans, Chinese. I'm telling you, people see through this. They know what's going on. Every time something happens to the Bidens, something happens to Trump. Every time, you know, like the other day with Devin Archer, where'd that go? What happened there?
Every single time they go after the Bidens, they immediately go after Trump. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, the evidence is pretty clear, Patty.
No, I mean, my God in heaven, if people can't see through this, I mean, you could see it's all politically January 6th. My God in heaven, why didn't they do that 2 years ago? No, they're doing it now because it's an election year. They're doing it now, and that's myth. Something wrong with him. Every time I look at him, he reminds me of Stalin.
He does sort of have that whiff of communism around him. Hey, Patty, we got to run. We're late for the break here, but good hearing from you. Give us a holler back. All right, coming up, our good friend, our great national correspondent, Robin Poffman. She's got some things to say. Also, lines open, 844-747-8868. What advice would you give President Trump? Should he keep fighting? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this crazy day. What a mess. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Robin Poffman, joins us. And Robin, no doubt a crazy day yesterday up in Washington, D.C., as the indictment was handed down. You know, I've had a chance to read this thing at least three times. And, Robin, I'm not seeing any crimes that have actually been committed here.
You know, good afternoon, Todd. It's so discouraging, these charges. I've read through some of it myself. And the big takeaway for people who don't have the time or the patience for all this is that a lot of what's in there is actually protected speech under the Constitution. And this whole matter, this is the third indictment, if you're counting and you have a flow chart. This is all for one thing. This is about tying up Donald Trump to clutter his calendar so he has no time to run for president. And to indict this man so he can't run for president, because he is the only man in this country that has the, you know, the chutzpah, the nerve to stand up for this country and to expose the swamp, and everybody is shaking in their boots. So this is what you get. You know, we had impeachment, and now we have indictments, and then they'll, as soon as there's some more bad news about Hunter Biden and his schemes, alleged schemes, there'll be the Fulton County, Georgia indictment, so you could add number four, add that into the pot of gumbo. And all of this is one big healthy distraction to tie this man up in knots so there's no space or room for him to run and to ever become president and to ever get the keys again to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
We've covered a lot of these stories together over the years, Robin, and it's really mind-blowing to see what they're trying to do here. And I wonder if, you know, if and when the Fulton County decision comes down, is there going to be an effort somewhere along the line to jail Donald Trump? Because what they're doing is not working, and I think that's frustrating them. They thought after the first indictment that would be it. But Trump continues to get more popular every time they indict the guy.
And that is because that the MAGA crowd, the Make America Great Again, the COG, Keep America Great crowd, Keep America Great crowd, everybody can see right through this. This is like, you know, cellophane, you know, like, you know, you put over the salad so you can see if it's still fresh in your refrigerator. It's transparent. You could see right through it, you know. And everybody sees it. I even think that people on the left see through it, and they know that this is just ridiculous and such an overreach. Did you see the prosecutor there yesterday standing up there? I watched the thing. I was watching television live, Smith, and he's standing there like he almost doesn't believe the words. He didn't even talk about the content. He's talking about, again, January 6th, like the boogeyman. Now, do I think that the Capitol should have been attacked and all this? Absolutely not. But you're trying to pin this on the former president when, and they even edit out. You know what really scares me, Todd? The selective editing where they edit out where Trump is saying that everything, should, you know, in that speech prior to the protest at the Capitol, that people should go there and peacefully protest. They edit stuff out like Andrea Mitchell did with her editor at MSNBC. And it's criminal. But it all boils down to the fact that they want Trump to have this crowded calendar. I do agree with you that shy of him being in an orange prison jumpsuit with handcuffs around his hands and shackled at his ankles, like he's some sort of criminal, that's the only thing that's going to make the left happy at this point. Because like you say, everything they do, his numbers rise to a higher level. So this is going to really ramp up in the next couple of weeks, I believe, especially with the Georgia situation, which stems from that phone call where Trump said, hey, you know, can you find some votes or recount it or, you know, the specifics of that. But again, you know, you're indicting someone over a phone call. And then, you know, it's very interesting. I went back and looked at some of the exchanges that Donald Trump had with Brett Baer from Fox News. Todd, did you see that interview?
I did see that interview.
And what I find interesting about the nugget, the big takeaway for me, they covered a lot of topics, but the nugget for me is that Donald Trump still believes that this election, the last election, was stolen from him. And many Trump supporters feel that way as well. And when you're wronged like that, when something is taken away from you that's rightfully yours, you want to fight back even harder. And that's why his supporters are so adamant about him, you know, regaining the power and becoming president again. And I just think that the sentiment from folks who support this man, love him or hate him, you know, everybody has their opinion, but the country was in better shape than it is today. That's the one thing I know for sure.
You know, Robin, what really surprises me here is Team DeSantis. I mean, they are going after Trump. And every time something like this happens, they say, oh, people are leaving Trump. They've said they've had enough. They're embracing DeSantis. And Robin, they've been saying this for months, but my observation here is, okay, well, if that's true, then why are the polling numbers not moving at all? They're just because not moving.
It's not true. I think that DeSantis is great. I love what he's done in Florida. It should be the blueprint for all the other states of how this man acted during the height of the coronavirus pandemic. I think he's done I spend a lot of time in Florida, and it's one of these great run places. Okay. Does it have problems? Yeah, like everywhere else, but it's better than the rest, which is why everybody's moving there. But here's the point. He's kind of the guy that's waiting in the wings. I have no issues with DeSantis. I would vote for DeSantis. I think a lot of the MAGA crowd, the Trump supporters, would vote for DeSantis if he was up there standing alone. I personally think I'd like to see a Trump-DeSantis ticket with them putting aside their differences and all this nonsense. It's like when Trump called Ted Cruz Lion Ted, and then after the election was over, they put aside all that nonsense with the bickering back and forth. And I think the same could be said and done here. And then you'd have, wow, that 1-2 Rocky punch of two men that want to make America great again. But I agree with you that the people are not flocking to Ron DeSantis because of these indictments and all this nonsense. It's just not happening. And the polls show it.
Robin, putting on your prognosticator's hat, looking down the road, do you see Trump actually being able to pull this off? I don't see anybody else who's even close to being the nominee. They're not getting anywhere near Trump. I think this is the guy.
I think it's the guy. I'd like to see him get back in. I think his policies worked. I think more, even bigger than his policies working, was that foreign leaders and people who want to do us harm feared him, and that's important. And I'd like to see it happen. My gut has always said it's not going to happen. My gut, when we started talking about this a year ago, was that ultimately the two candidates, that age was going to be a big factor in this campaign. And that ultimately, when people go to, you know, pull the lever there and vote behind the curtain, that I really believe ultimately at the end, it's going to be California versus Florida and the two governors and how both of these governors handled themselves during the coronavirus. And the look at the economy of California and look at Gavin Newsom and look at the economy of Florida and where people are moving and how people are feeling about the age of the candidate, number one, and two, pocketbook issues. I just think it's going to be a very hard road ahead for Trump, even though he's ahead in the polls today. We need to flag this tape. I really think it comes down to Newsom and DeSantis at the end. I think that there are factors and things that have not yet happened that ultimately, those two will be the candidates. Again, men that are way younger than Biden and Trump. And age matters.
Robin, we're marking the tape here on this one. And we'll
okay.
Wow, you went out there. I don't think it's going to be Biden, but I think it's probably going to be a Hillary or Michelle Obama. That's who I mean, when you look at what's happening in California right now, I mean, the state is in a state of disrepair. I mean, look at the people fleeing the state. I think more people have fled California than New York State.
It's true they have, but you have to look at Gavin Newsom, and he looks young, and he's kind of got the slick hair, and it's all about the camera. And again, Hillary Clinton does not have age on her side, and you have the two old guys, and I think we're going to have two younger guys. Because that's what history, when you study the presidencies, and I did in college, and we have these wide swings in America. You only have to go back, 40, 50 years to see that we go from the old guy to the young guy, from the old guy to the young guy. And we've got to get some youth in there. Also, what's going to matter is you have two, at least two, you have Feinstein and McConnell, that clearly to the human eye, you don't have to be a doctor to see that these two have serious medical concerns. And if we have two senators that leave with age, either on their own or something else medically, God forbid, happens to them, that's even going to pile on, Todd, this age thing that I'm talking about. People are very concerned about age.
All right, Robin, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. Great insights. Have a great one.
You too, my friend.
All right, there you go. Robin Poffman. She says it's not going to be Trump and it's not going to be Biden. She thinks it's going to be the two governors, DeSantis and Newsom. What say you? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, I've got to tell you about our friends over at Balance of Nature. I have been taking this for a couple of months now, and the Balance of Nature fruit and veggies in a capsule, unbelievable. I don't have to go to the grocery store, don't have to throw out all the produce I don't have time to fix. I mean, this is a game changer. Balance of Nature gives me 31 whole fruits and veggies every day at a fraction of the cost of buying them at the grocery store. And I can tell you, I've been taking Balance of Nature for, I guess, 2 or 3 months now, and I've noticed a boost in my energy. And Lord knows I need a boost in my energy. So the question is, have you ordered Balance of Nature yet? You're going to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code Todd. Go to balanceofnature.com. That's balanceofnature.com. Use the discount code Todd. You can also order by phone by calling 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com. Shipping always free. And use that discount code Todd. All right, coming up, Mike Huckabee, Judge Andrew Napolitano, the judge. Looking forward to that conversation. I'm looking forward to talking to Randy from Georgia. Thank you for listening to us on WDUN, Randy.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. What's going on? What's on your mind?
My suggestion would be to cause the libtards to have a total meltdown is to have Don Jr. qualify as a presidential candidate to run just as backup in case they do succeed in doing something to keep his father from being on the ballot in 2024.
Well, that would trigger the libtards, as you say. That would be that would be epic.
I'd love it.
Let's see. You know, we're going to get Don Jr. on the show in the next couple of weeks, and we'll run that by him, Randy, and we'll see what he says.
Sounds good. Have a blessed day.
All right, Randy. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to us today. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You know, Rush Limbaugh, in one of his final episodes, actually predicted all of this was going to happen. I want you to listen to cut number 7.
I know they desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again, which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump.
There you go. I mean, Rush Limbaugh was prophetic. That's exactly what's happening. And they're not there yet, right? So they've got to come up with the charge, and the charge will be leading an insurrection. That's the charge. And that charge, they will use that to get Trump off the ballot. All right, let's go to Levi in Georgia, wants to weigh in on that Don Jr. recommendation. Hi, Levi, what you got for us?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good.
I just wanted to say, last caller made a comment that maybe we should put Don Jr. on the ballot. I think that's ridiculous. We have right now, running for president, probably the most conservative person in the last 50 years, probably even more than Ronald Reagan. We have Ron DeSantis in Florida. And I don't know why we're trying to go here with Donald Trump here. His conservative record is a little suspect there, with him supporting possibly red flag laws, saying a 6-week abortion ban is too harsh. I don't know why we're going with someone. And then Don Jr., which says with the Bud Light controversy, said, oh, they're good people there, that we shouldn't boycott them. We need to go with a true conservative leader, someone that wins. He's 5-0 in his elections, not a loser in Trump with all his endorsements the last 2022.
Levi, why is your guy polling so low in all the polls out there?
I think the polls there, it's very early. We're about 8 months out from the Iowa caucuses. And first of all, if he's polling so low, why is Donald Trump, every other post he puts out there, now we don't have Twitter anymore, but it's X, but every post that Donald Trump on Truth Social saying, oh, DeSantis, he's fighting him. He's not fighting Scott over Swami. He's not fighting Nikki Haley, not fighting Tim Scott. He's obviously in the internal polling. I'm sure it's showing there that it's a much closer race.
All right, Levi, we're going to have to leave it there. We are up against the wall here. Folks, Levi says, forget Don Jr., forget Don Sr. This is about Ron DeSantis. It's his race. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to it, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you guys with us today. It has been a wild and busy day, and we've got a very busy hour coming up. By the way, Judge Napolitano is going to be here in just a little while, and he's going to break down the legalese of all of this regarding the indictment of President Trump. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him in just a few moments. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and a good friend of this program, he is the host of the incredibly popular show on TBN, Huckabee, our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, how's it going today?
Todd, I tell you, I'm doing better than Jack Smith is, because I don't go around persecuting people. How's that for an opening?
Wow. Yeah. No, look, I saw you. I saw your hit with Maria Bartiromo earlier today. And I'm telling you, Governor, I thought the same thing when I was reading this. It looks like this is all about free speech coming under attack.
That's really what it's about. Smith went to the microphone yesterday, and he talked about January 6th. None of this 45-page indictment is about January 6th. So he was very disingenuous in his press conference. What he basically is saying is that Donald Trump believed that the election was stolen, and he said so. And because he didn't believe what the government wants him to believe and didn't say what the government wants him to say, he's going to be criminally charged. Now, two things come to mind. First of all, every American, I don't care whether you're Donald Trump or not, has the right to say what he or she wants to say. Secondly, we have a right to believe what we want to believe. We may be wrong, but we have a right to believe it. We have a right to say it. It's the First Amendment. And the Constitution is clear. Congress shall make no law that abridges those rights. Well, Jack Smith apparently thinks he is the law, and he can make it as he wants. But here's the second part of this that I think is very, very telling. Why hasn't there been indictments of Hillary Clinton, of Stacey Abrams? Go down the list. You had Nancy Pelosi. All of these elected officials who are Democrats who said the 2016 election was illegitimate, that Donald Trump was not the rightful president. Nobody suggested, including Republicans, ever suggested that we criminally charge them because they believe that, as stupid as they may have been in believing it, or as wrong, or that they said it. So, yeah, we have a real problem here, and I don't think he'll win at the local level because it's in D.C., but this ought to go to the Supreme Court and get swatted down 9-0.
We have 24 minutes of audio of Democrats denying the 2016 election results. We've got audio of Democrats denying the 2020 election results and the 2000 election results and the 2004 election results. And Governor, we have a video over 2 minutes of Hollywood celebrities telling Republican Electoral College voters to not cast their ballots for Donald Trump. Why aren't those people in jail, to your point?
Well, because we have a two-tiered justice system, Todd. I mean, we just do. There is a system that is designed for the insiders, the deep staters, the bureaucrats, the people connected to the Democrat Party. There's a three-tiered justice system. The second tier is for America First, MAGA Republicans, if you will. And then the third tier is just for any old Joe who's probably going to get stepped all over, maybe not quite as bad as a pro-life, pro-Christian, white male MAGA supporter. But that's where we are in this country. And here's what I pray people understand. If Donald Trump can be criminalized for what he believes and what he said, then so can your pastor when he gets in the pulpit and says that marriage is between a man and a woman. And then I'll tell you, a school teacher in a Christian school, she can be prosecuted criminally if she says that there are biologically only two genders because God made male and female. Now, please don't say, oh, that'll never happen, because I never thought that we would criminalize a former U.S. president because he believed and said some things that the government didn't like. And in this case, the government is his political opponent in 2024. That's what makes this even more outrageous. Biden's people don't think Biden can beat him, so they're going to try to criminalize him. And the only thing that makes me madder than that are these Republicans who won't stand up with Trump and who say, well, he ought to get out of the race. Are you kidding me? If he gets out, then the Democrats have succeeded in criminalizing the behavior that is constitutionally protected. And every Republican ought to say, even if I'm not going to vote for Trump, I stand with him and against this absolute charade of a criminal prosecution.
Governor, I'm curious to get your take on Mike Pence, and his response has really generated a lot of outrage among conservatives, saying today's indictment serves as an important reminder. Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States, talking about Donald Trump. Your response to that?
Yeah, I tweeted that I agree with Mike Pence that Joe Biden should definitely not be elected president because he's put himself above the Constitution. But I'm appalled if Mike Pence thinks that Donald Trump put himself above the Constitution. The truth is, he abided by the Constitution by having a belief and speaking out on it, which he's entitled to do. And you can disagree with Trump, but you have to agree that he has the right to believe and speak. Otherwise, none of us have the right to believe and speak. And I don't know where he was coming from on that. I have no idea. But if he wants to attack somebody for going above the Constitution, he needs to stand against Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, Christopher Wray, and the whole unconstitutionally criminalizing, weaponizing justice apparatus under Joe Biden.
You know, it's interesting. The Washington Post actually went through the indictment, and they counted at least 100 references to either Mike Pence or the vice president, which really leads you to wonder, you know, was he cooperating with, you know, with the Biden Justice Department on this?
Well, I hope not. I hope he didn't think that he was going to somehow better himself. If he believes that somehow challenging Donald Trump in the courtroom rather than at the ballot box is the way that he's going to become president, I think it's a huge mistake. And I do think a lot of conservatives and even non-Trump supporters would be outraged if they thought that Pence, after all that has happened, would somehow believe that Donald Trump didn't have a right to believe what he believed. And by the way, the day before, or 2 days before January 6th, on January 4th, Mike Pence gave a speech in which he intimated that the election was not on the up and up. So maybe he's going to get criminally charged for saying what he did.
Well, and you know, it was that speech, Governor, that has caused, that speech was the cause of all of the outrage, because he said that he would not give up until every single vote had been counted, and then turns around and does what he did on January the 6th. That really outraged a lot of conservatives who thought they had basically, you know, they had been fed a line. And then go back, and Governor, and I appreciate Mike Pence, but in 2015, when he signed that Religious Freedom Restoration Act, he came under fire, and what happened? He immediately backpedaled. And that's always just bothered me, and I think a lot of other people, wondering if, you know, when the going gets tough, does Mike Pence get going?
You know, the one thing we know about Donald Trump, say what you want to, but when the going gets tough, he goes even harder and keeps at it. And that's one of the reasons I'm supporting him, and I'm more so now than ever after yesterday. I'm going to give it all I have. And
yep,
part of the reason is because I'm not sure anybody else could put up with what he's put up with and still get up in the morning and go face the day. Donald Trump has proven that he's willing to fight the deep state. And I keep saying to people, this is not about Donald Trump. This is about your pastor, your school administrator. This is about your own family being able to say what they want, wear the T-shirt they want, put the yard sign up in their yard they want, without the government come knocking your door down and saying, I'm sorry, you don't have a right to believe what you want, and you sure as heck can't say it.
All right. Well, Governor, we appreciate you as always, and thanks for coming on the show. What's coming up on your show this weekend?
Well, I can assure you we're going to be talking about these indictments. We have a lot to go on. We have a great group for music. It's going to be Bluegrass Week. It's going to be fun. It's a genre of music I'm not really excellent at, so I won't be playing with the band, but there's going to be plenty of conversation about these latest Trump indictments.
Love it. All right, folks, that's coming up on TBN, and we have a direct link to Governor Huckabee's website over on our show blog. Governor, have a great one, sir.
Thank you, Todd. Take care, my friend.
All right, good hearing from you. Governor Mike Huckabee, by the way, that speech, it was on December 22nd, 2020, Mike Pence speaking at Turning Point USA. And we're going to pull the audio from this when we come back from break. But I want to read the quote to you. This is why people to this day do not trust Mike Pence. This is what he said. And as our election contest continues, I'll make you a promise. We're going to keep fighting until every legal vote is counted. We're going to keep fighting until every illegal vote is thrown out. We're going to win Georgia. We're going to save America. And we will never stop fighting to make America great again. You watch. Well, we did, Mr. Vice President. We watched you a few days later surrender, just like you did back in 2015. And it pains me to say that, because I do believe that Mike Pence is a good Christian man. He loves his family. He loves his country, no doubt about it. But he's made some mistakes. He just doesn't have the courage to stand by his convictions. Otherwise, why would you say that, Mike Pence, to those young people at the Turning Point USA event? All right, we've got to take a break. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
And as our election contest continues, I'll make you a promise. We're going to keep fighting until every legal vote is counted. We're going to keep fighting until every illegal vote is thrown out. We're going to win Georgia, we're going to save America, and we'll never stop fighting to make America great again. You watch.
And then 14 days later, he surrendered. That's Vice President Mike Pence at the time. He was speaking at Turning Point USA. Did you hear the crowd? It was thunderous. I remember that speech like it was yesterday. The thunderous applause and the chanting. People were fired up. And they believed what Mike Pence was telling them. And that was the problem. Just like all the Christians over in Indiana, they believed what Mike Pence was telling them. But then when the going gets tough, Mike Pence turned around and got going in the other direction. This is from Politico in 2016. Looking back on that Religious Freedom Restoration Act, Pence originally signed it, and then he backpedaled on language regarding LGBT people. Politico reports the reason why conservatives are not going to be moved that much by this choice, talking about Trump's choice of Mike Pence, is he had an opportunity to stand up for religious liberty, to mark himself in history. He did not do that. That's according to Pastor Mike Gonzalez, who leads an evangelical outreach group for Ted Cruz. Quote, I'd never thought that of Mike, but when it came down to it, he crumbled under pressure. That, for many evangelical conservatives, has been something that is a red flag. So there you go. And again, I hate it. I hate it. But Mike Pence puts himself in these situations where you have to remind people who he really is. He is not a strong man. And that's sad. Let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Bill in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it. Always enjoy being on your show. And before I say anything, I want to tell you, I like Governor Huckabee. And I really enjoy listening to him, and he's absolutely on point. One thing Mike Pence lied about, in my opinion, I liked Mike Pence up until January 6th because I think he cowered down on America and turned us over to Biden. What he said was he didn't have a choice. He constitutionally had to certify that election. And that's absolutely not true. I want everybody to know that. That's why they do the objections with the 10 senators that signed various objections objecting to their electoral college votes, because they had an opportunity to do that, and Mike Pence had an obligation to abide by it and say, you know what, we got to send these back to the states. We got too many objections. And he, after that riot, I watched him when he certified that election, and he was very nervous, which understandably so, sticking his tongue in his cheek, like, you know, licking his sides of his teeth or whatever. And he was just pathetic in the way he did that. And I cannot support Mike Pence going forward. Even if something happens to Trump, Mike Pence is the last one on the Republican list that I would consider.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, it really is sad. Mike Pence went on to say, by the way, that our country is more important than one man, talking about Trump. Our Constitution is more important than any one man's career. On January 6th, Trump demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. I chose the Constitution, and I always will.
Right. I heard him say that. And you know, you said it on point. Governor Huckabee, actually, I think, said it. Mike Pence had it wrong. It's not Donald Trump. It's Joe Biden that's putting himself above the Constitution. And the Democrats are putting Joe Biden above the Constitution. And people out there that don't realize that are just walking around with their head in a plastic bag. I tell you, I just don't get it.
Well, it's a great observation, Bill. And we appreciate you calling in. And thank you for listening to KWAM. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, if you have not done so, you got to check out the new book from David Horowitz. Wow. He tells it like it is. It's called The Final Battle, and David Horowitz is naming names. He has written an incredible book that really does illustrate and describe the far left's attempts to end democracy. He warns of these deep state efforts to stop Donald Trump. And again, he names names. Now, President Trump says, you've got to get the final battle before the next election because it may be the last. Mike Huckabee, who we just had on the show, says every Christian in America needs to prepare by getting the final battle. Now, you can find it in bookstores everywhere. It's already an Amazon bestseller. but you can get it free thanks to our friends at Newsmax. You're going to be able to save almost $30. All you need to do is go to the website, finalbattle611.com. Again, that website, finalbattle611.com, and get the Final Battle today. That's finalbattle611.com. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. We are expecting our good friend Judge Andrew Napolitano to drop by. And maybe you have a question about all of this from the legal perspective. He's going to be the guy that can answer that question. So give us a call, 844-747-8868, and you'll be able to ask Judge Napolitano a question. We'll be right back, folks. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us here on the Todd Stearns radio program. By the way, ToddStearns.com, that is our landing page and all sorts of great information for you to check out there. Well, I'm excited to reconnect with a good friend from the old Fox News corner of the world. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, how in the world are you doing?
Oh, Todd, same from me to thee. Boy, I've been looking forward to this. We had so many happy years together at Fox. It's a delight to be reunited. Of course, you're now king of the hill with all these radio stations that you own. God bless you.
Well, thank you for that, Judge. I have to tell the story though. You came to the my very first book signing, and we had a great little book launch party. And you know, I'm not Italian. I'm from the South. You know, so we're sort of reserved. And in comes Judge Napolitano, and before I know it, I'm getting the big smooch on either side of the cheek. I didn't know what was going on. And
sometimes that helps you bond with people. Sometimes it gets you in trouble.
No, look, I'm like, all right, let's have some. There we go. It was awesome. It really was. It was a lot of fun. And Judge, we appreciate your great work over the years. And I wanted to get your take on what we're looking at right now with this indictment of President Trump. Is he in trouble here?
Well, unfortunately, he is in trouble. I say unfortunately because I have argued my entire professional career as a lawyer, a judge, a law professor, and a television commentator that the conspiracy laws are unconstitutional. They basically punish thought. And they basically punish speech. And under the natural law, you have the right to think as you wish and say what you think. Under the First Amendment, you have the right to think what you wish and say what you think. I'm doing an off-Broadway show, Todd, called Clarence Darrow Tonight. Just me being Clarence Darrow. There's a famous line in the show. It's about a 75 or 80-minute show. There's a famous line in the show where he's addressing a jury. His client is charged with a conspiracy. Now, this is 1870, so the numbers are a little off. And he says, if a boy steals a dime, he is not a candidate for incarceration. A very small fine will do. But if two boys conspire to steal a dime and then don't do it, they are candidates for incarceration. What kind of a country does this to their own people? And one of the jurors raised his hand and says, ours. Now, at that point, Darrow knew he had an acquittal on his hands. But the point is the same here. Trump is charged with agreements that were never carried out. There was no harm as a result of these agreements, even if they took place as Trump claims. But the government loves conspiracy charges. See, the government has to prove harm. Harm is an element of every crime, except for conspiracy. That's why the government loves these charges. It doesn't have to prove that any harm actually took place. I think he has substantial First Amendment defense. I don't know how it's going to come off with this judge. Legal defenses are argued before the judge, not before the jury. The other defense he has is wrong time, wrong place, wrong defendant, which is basically jury nullification. It's not a denial of what happened. It's that the government is really stepping out of its space by charging someone who's on the cusp of getting reelected as president of the United States.
Judge, what can you tell us about Jack Smith?
Jack is a highly respected, very aggressive prosecutor. If you're Merrick Garland and you want somebody to prosecute Donald Trump, who will be utterly and totally oblivious to Trump's criticism and the criticism of Trump fans, which is a substantial portion of the population, then Jack Smith is your guy. He does typify the attitude of a lot of federal prosecutors, which is, you know, indict to the hilt and prosecute to the hilt. When he said he wants a speedy trial, now the government always says that, and the government is rarely ready, except for Jack Smith. I think he probably is ready, and he's probably going to ask for a trial date before the trial on the Mar-a-Lago documents case.
So this is, do you think this is somewhat strategic here?
I don't know that it's strategic, but I think they want to keep Trump's back to the wall. They believe he's a public menace, and they want to prosecute him and see how the see how it all plays out. Is there politics behind this? There's probably politics behind this in the upper echelon of the Justice Department. I don't think politics has reached down into Jack Smith or the field FBI agents that are doing the field work. I don't think it's reached down into that level.
All right, Judge Andrew Napolitano on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is the host of Judging Freedom, which is available on YouTube. Huge, huge numbers there, folks. You can also check out his website, judgenap.com. That's judgenap.com. Now, Judge, I want to go to the phones. I want to bring in Charles, who's listening to us from North Carolina. And, Charles, I understand you have a question for the judge.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Todd. And, Judge, it's an honor to speak with you. So, Judge, Here's my question. The legal foundation for Donald Trump challenging the electoral results was something called the Electoral Count Act of 1887. Now, just so you know, in full transparency, I was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th at that rally, okay? And the goal was to have to hear challenges to these electoral results, and not for Mike Pence to overturn them, but for Mike Pence to send them back to the state to give them 10 days to investigate to see if there was any merit to it or not. And that if there wasn't merit, it gave plenty of time for Joe Biden to be sworn in. If there was merit, then states elect the president, and they could send alternate slates of electors.
So, Charles, what's your question for the judge?
If the legal foundation is the Electoral Count Act 1887, if that's not a legal foundation, why did the United States Senate just vote to overturn that in December 2022?
Well, I don't know the answer to your question precisely as to why the Senate did what it did. The Senate, according to Justice Scalia, does what it does only to get reelected, being a little snarky. But there's no authority under the statute for Mike Pence to have rejected the electoral votes. Only the Congress, voting as one Congress, but state by state, could have voted to overturn or reject or send back or call into question, whatever you want to call it, the electoral votes. One of Trump's defenses will also be the lawyers told me to do it. I'll tell you in a minute why I don't think that will work. And I got a full disclosure. Trump's been my friend for 35 years. He interviewed me for the Supreme Court of the United States twice and consulted with me dozens of times while he was in the White House. So it doesn't give me any pleasure to analyze this. I'm analyzing it as a lawyer, as a former judge, and as a legal scholar, not as a conservative Republican that wants to see him reelected. There's no authority for any interference with the counting of the votes. The counting of the votes is purely mechanical. One of his defenses may very well be the lawyers told me to do it. The reason I don't think that defense will wash is most of those lawyers have cut deals with the federal government to testify against Trump. They are the unindicted and unnamed co-conspirators. The reason they're unindicted and unnamed is because the government made a deal with them.
Rudy Giuliani, testify in our favor and we won't indict you. Don't testify in our favor and we will. That's unfair, but that's the way the government operates. In the Mar-a-Lago case, Trump has two co-defendants, employees of his club, Mar-a-Lago. Both defendants were offered the opportunity to cooperate with the government. Both declined. Both were indicted.
Charles, thank you for that question, and we appreciate you listening today. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Judge, I want to go back to the indictment yesterday where there were six unnamed co-conspirators. CNN thinks they know who these people are, at least five of them. Will we eventually know the names of these individuals, and why did they not go ahead and name them?
Well, the reason they weren't named is because the government has cut a deal with them. If they had cooperated, by cooperating with the government, they're not named and they're not indicted. If the cooperation collapses or if they had refused to cooperate, well, then they would have been indicted, just like the two employees of his at Mar-a-Lago, who one of whom initially cooperated with the government, then changed his mind, the other of whom declined to cooperate with the government. You play ball with the government, and they bribe you. Tell us what we want to hear, not the truth. Tell us what we want to hear, and we won't charge you. Now, to a lawyer, that's a devastating Hobson's choice, because lawyers will lose their licenses if they lie, and lawyers can lose their licenses if they're indicted, even if they are acquitted. So it's a very difficult situation to be in. The names that CNN has put out, just about all of us agree with who they are. They're rather obvious. The most obvious one is conspirator number one, Giuliani. The reason they have named the existence of the conspirators is because a conspiracy requires two or more people. A conspiracy is an agreement. So the conspirator, the defendant, can't agree with himself. That's not a conspiracy. There has to be at least one other person involved for it to be a conspiracy. A conspiracy is an agreement. This is why I said earlier on, Todd, it's a thought crime. A conspiracy is an agreement between two or more people to commit a crime where one of them takes at least one step in furtherance of the crime, but none of them actually completes it. But none of them actually completes it. So there's no harm here other than the government's bruised ego.
Judge, where does this go from here? We've got we're still waiting on the Fulton County issue. We're expecting an indictment there. Which one legally poses more of a threat to the former president?
I think Fulton County does. I think the case in Manhattan is a very technical and weak one, and I think Trump is likely to be pardoned either by himself or whoever succeeds Joe Biden, but the president's pardoning power only extends to federal crimes. If he is convicted in Atlanta, and of course he hasn't been indicted yet, but that indictment is forthcoming, there's no federal pardoning power.
All right. Well, Judge, we're going to have to leave it there. We're up against a hard break here. Great information, and we appreciate you coming on and helping us sort all of this out, and we'd love to get you back on very soon.
Oh, at the drop of a hat, Todd. I'm happy to do it on a regular basis.
All right.
You have one of the greatest voices in all of radio. I think I told you that when we first met.
you're kind to say that, Judge. Folks, go check out JudgeKnapp.com. That's JudgeKnapp.com. Go to YouTube and check out the incredible YouTube show, Judging Freedom. It's one of the most popular shows on YouTube and really getting a huge audience. Judge, have a great one, sir.
Well, the best to you, Todd. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Good guy right there, Judge Andrew Napolitano. And he has been a longtime friend of the president, and it's good to get his legal perspective here on the realities that Team Trump is facing. And I just hope to high heavens the president has surrounded himself with rock-solid lawyers who know what they're dealing with here. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, can I tell you about Mike Lindell? They're celebrating their 20th anniversary over at MyPillow, And Mike wants to thank all of our listeners, each and every one of you, by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to be able to get a queen size MyPillow for just $19.98, regular $69.98. And for $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king size pillow. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, bed sheets, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use my last name, Starnes, as the promo code. And you're going to get that incredible queen-size MyPillow for just $19.98. I have four, and I love them. It's the best sleep ever. So, folks, the offer comes with a 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. So it's time to start getting that quality sleep you deserve, right? So, again, go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and use that promo code Starnes. All right, folks, if you missed any of the interviews with Judge Napolitano or Robin Poffman or Mike Huckabee, head over to the website, ToddStarnes.com. And you want to subscribe to my daily podcast. It is loaded up every day right after the show, and you'll be able to listen to those conversations. And it's free of charge. It doesn't cost you any money. And we're continuing to grow our podcast, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. Again, ToddStarnes.com. All right. I want to play some audio. This is terrible. People are really just weird out there. Cut number 8.
If you are not black, if your skin is not brown, if you are not melanated, then you do not have the right to come under my videos talking back to my people. Your opinions are not wanted, nor are they relevant. So why do you feel like you need to come and keep saying something to my people? You need to ask me my permission before you speak or comment on my videos. You come under my video and say, Lord, may I please have your permission to say something, then you wait for me to give you my permission before you start tapping, moving your little pasty fingers around on my page. You people have been talking way too much for way too long, and your time is officially up. It is black power forever.
All right, I take exception to that. I think my hands are not that pasty. I mean, I don't understand. Anyway, this woman's very upset. She's going viral on the social media pages because of this idea that if you're not black, you have to have permission to speak to her. And I did want to ask her a question. Ma'am, may I ask you a question, please? What is it, melanomin? Is that what she called it? Watermelon? Is that like a cantaloupe, or is that like a honeydew melon? A watermelon? What kind of a melon are we talking about here? And again, I probably should have asked her permission, as she demanded that we do. And I do want to make sure. I mean, she was very clear that we had to ask her a question. So anyway, maybe she can, if she's listening to the program, Colin, let's just put her right through, and we'll take her right away, even though we're about to wrap up today's show. But maybe she can clarify what sort of melons she was talking about, just for the sake of it.
Hallelujah.
All right. We've got to scoot out of here, folks. It's been a wild day. Look, we're going to keep you updated on any breaking news development surrounding President Trump. You can find all that information at ToddStarnes.com. Caleb Park, our great managing editor, has been posting stories all day. Folks, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for making us your choice, noon to 3 Eastern. This is the Todd Stern Show. You be good, America.